Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 535, Hegemony, Part 2.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And we're kicking off Season 3 of Strange New Worlds, which is,
here we are.
For me, uncharted territory. Like, I had seen the whole show up to this point, but now I have no idea what's going to happen.
It's exciting new world.
Turns out, more Gorn. What if there was more Gorn, they said, and they did it.
Maybe this is it for the Gorn.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe they all go to bed after this episode.
Yeah, they sure do. Why don't I just get right into it?
Yeah, let's tell me about Hegemony 2.
All right. We pick up where last season's thrilling conclusion left off. Captain Pike, his brow knitted in concern, posing just so to leave room for the question mark that they're obviously going to put over his head in post. Do I pick the lady, which in this case is retreating back to the safety of the Federation as ordered, or the tiger, which symbolizes a bunch of lizard monsters? Tigers always symbolize lizards. This is English 101 stuff, guys. But then the question mark over his head is replaced by a light bulb. Uhura, did Admiral April's orders contain the words Simon says? No, sir, but they usually don't. Perfect! That means we can stick around as long as we want and fire a spider tracer at the ship where our guys are and the colonists are being held. I followed most of that, but what's a spider tracer? Literally the only example Al ever uses for a remote tracking device. So they do that thing, then rendezvous with Admiral April, who insists that further engagement with the Gorn will only provoke a war. Surely kidnapping a bunch of senior officers from our flagship already did that, says no one. But Pike ends up getting to go back to for his guys anyway, via the tried and true Star Trek cliche of, these are your official orders, wink, but maybe you should read between the lines and do whatever you want, hard elbow in the ribs. So the Enterprise turns back around and heads for the porch light where all the moths are gathering. Moths also symbolize lizard monsters. Did you even pay attention in English class? Meanwhile, Chapel is trying to dig those Gorn eggs out of Captain Battelle with a penknife, and somehow that's not working. So Pike sends Spock down to assist her by doing what good Starfleet officers do best, bouncing insane, highly improbable ideas off one another. This is also happening down in engineering, as that resourceful guy they rescued, you know, old Scottish Monty, desperately tries to recall how he bashed together the perfect anti-Gorn device down on that planet. I just improvised. I do not remember what I actually did. This is why we write things down, Scottish Monty, shouts Pelia as she bashes him liberally about the head and neck with various wrenches, spanners, and a third thing that also means wrench. Meanwhile, over on the Gorn ship, a solid commando team consisting of Mbenga, La'an, Ortegas, and Sam Kirk break out of their gremlins goo pods and then proceed to wander around and generally not live up to the promise of putting those particular characters together. Erica manages to fly a ship out, despite having literally no blood in her body, so that's something heroic, I guess. And back on the Enterprise, Pike realizes that we're no closer to resolving this cliffhanger than we were an hour ago, so he shrugs and decides to go best of both worlds with it and put the Gorn to sleep. With a flashlight. The day is saved, the crew and the colonists are rescued, and also Captain Battelle is fine now. You know, when I watched this episode last night, I was under the impression that I enjoyed it. Having to retell it to you now, it turns out I didn't. Which is what doing a show like this can do to you. There's a lot to like.
Well, despite my emotional reaction to this, the facts tell me that this is a bad episode.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. This is not the first time this has happened. I thought I liked this, but I guess, nope, turns out I don't.
No.
Thanks, critical thinking.
Yeah, as happened last time, I had a great time with this episode. Every time we weren't down on the Gorn planet, or I guess the Gorn ship, or the Gorn stomach? I think it's a Gorn stomach that looks like a stomach cave.
Like, because there's like stalactites and stalagmites. And but I see stomach as well. That makes perfect sense to me.
They mentioned at one point that the crew's being digested. I think a chunk of Erica's hand fell off.
Yeah, there's actually Sam, just sort of looks at the goo and says, this is digestive fluid. And the putting the fucking xenobiologist here makes sense because he knows all these other, like, Mbenga might have figured it out, but the other two are not going to know what that is. So that's, he's got a useful, like, purpose here.
Just standing around like, this is some kind of a goo ship. You know how sometimes you get goo ships? This is one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing is, there were a lot fewer slavering monsters in this one. Mm-hmm. There was a bit, but not nearly as many as last time. So,
well, they hit you hard with the slathering monsters right at the end, but the rest of the episode is very slathering monster free.
Yeah. No, it's much like the ratio of stupid, pointless CG monsters versus actual people we care about is much better in the favor of the people this time. So,
yeah,
that's good. But yeah, that was your good thing. This is more like competence porn.
Oh yeah, exactly. This is that was my good thing without my actually saying it was my good thing. I love bouncing between these guys.
Yes, I agree with you.
Even the Gorn stomach stuff wasn't terrible. It's just more interesting things were happening elsewhere. These are just like, hey, we found a bunch of guns and a bunch of Gorn poop, so we can use these guns to shoot at things. And I'm like, whatever.
It was fine. Like, and the fact that they work on light is okay. Like, that was interesting. I don't know. I just wish it was better.
I like the theory that the Gorn hibernate like cicadas.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an interesting pull on an extremely non-humanoid like species.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just, check it out. Like, these guys, every 30 years or something, these guys don't do anything. Then they come out and do a bunch of things. Maybe they're like cicadas and they hide in the ground. Oh, I can work with that.
Or maybe they're just like me and, like, you know, borderline bipolar or something.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get it. It's not a bad idea, but it did, like I said in my summary, play out exactly like the end of Best of Both Worlds, which is very whiz it down your leg. I don't know. Then they went to sleep.
Sleep and heavenly peace.
How do we get rid of all of them without killing them?
Yeah.
They could take a nap. Done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh.
I want to cut to the inside of the Gorn ship where all the Gorn like get flashlighted. It's like, oh, never mind.
Well, they've got to, you know me, I want them to put on the old timey sleeping caps and carry the little candles in a cup and, you know, the whole deal.
Get out your sleepy time stocking cap, my nightgown.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mama like, Gorn in her kerchief.
I was about to say, any illustrated version of The Night Before Christmas done before like 1950. Like,
Yep.
100%. The thing is, my bad thing, I agree with your good thing, but my bad thing still kind of ties into this.
Yeah.
I said this last time, I love watching the crew, and they paired them off differently this time. They're all solving problems, and Uhura did less engineering stuff this time because she had a lot to do last time, so it was more, let's use the new guy, Scotty, and let's bounce him off Pelia, and let's, like Spock and Chapel can deal with their personal shit while they're also dealing with this. Like, it was good. It was good, like, dividing people up. But a lot of these things were extremely unlikely. In fact, I'm gonna play my quote here, which was a great line from Pike here.
Magnetize the hull to attract stellar material. Look, it's 1 in 1,000 we get it done right or don't blow ourselves up along the way. Look.
Yeah, I don't know. I like those odds. We'll just turn it off before we blow up.
Where Scotty says it's 1,000 to 1 chance. And then at another point, when they're looking at ways to save Battelle, they said there's an 86% chance she'll die. So, like, everything we're doing is 1,000,000 to 1 shot. And, like, that's Star Trek, man. That's every adventure story since the 20th century, at least, is like, it's extremely unlikely odds, but we're going to pull through it. But when you have 2 or 3 scenarios where it's very, very unlikely and everything just comes out fine.
That is the thing, yeah.
And I feel the only way to earn this sort of victory, like literally everything they wanted to get done got done. As far as I know, they didn't lose a single colonist.
Yeah.
Like, Erica got hurt, but Mbenga is a good doctor. He'll fix her right up. Mm-hmm. So, like, the only way for this sort of victory to work is if one part of it kind of fails. Like, you need a little sacrifice to give it some weight. Like, if Battelle had managed to not pull through, like, let's say Spock and Chapel did hit on a way to save people with Gorn eggs in them, but they were too late to save her. Like,
yes,
that might have worked. But everything just turned out absolutely fine, as though this episode never happened. And, like, I just want some stakes. Like, nothing ever, we got Scotty. Other than that, these 2 episodes may as well have never happened. You know what I mean?
No, with any luck, we won't see the Gorn again.
That'd be nice. Now they're Kirk's problem.
Yeah.
But, you know,
they're going to evolve into weird puppet men, and then
I love those weird puppet men.
I agree.
But, you know, it's just, I wish something had gone wrong. I don't want a grim, dark, everything goes wrong. Like, it doesn't need to be Battlestar Galactica. But
yeah,
for 2/3 of the heroic stuff to happen and for one part of it to just like, no, we didn't quite make it in time. You know, it just,
yeah,
it has more weight that way. That's
there
all.
For as big as this was supposed to feel like, there's no, like, everything pretty much went as best as it was going to, like,
yeah,
we really should have lost somebody, you know?
Yeah. And I love all these guys, but also, oh, yeah, if you're going to, like, if these are the big bad of this series, or at least up to this point, like, they need to do something to you then.
Yeah. All we've got is, old Lon, even. Like, she doesn't even do it anymore. When, thank God. Like, just, no, the Gorn are monster, terrible monsters. Is that...
Now, they do revisit.
Really?
The
because
fact
they, we just put them to Betty by.
Mm-hmm. Just tucked him in, sang him a little, like, you know, yep, read him a story, sang him a song, gave him a little
good
glass
night,
of milk,
Gorn.
And that was it.
Good and night, look, porn. Good
Lizards
night, Michael Morn. Dorn.
No, Morn. Come on. Michael Dorn doesn't exist in Star Trek. He plays a character. You sound crazy, Baggy.
Not what Lower Decks led me to believe.
Well, okay, that's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
There is no fourth wall. You got a good point there.
Yeah.
But, you know,
also, Michael Dorn has played the Sandman in one of the later Santa Claus movies with Tim Allen. So if you would like to see him wearing a
putting someone
cap,
to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could watch one of the more tedious Klingon episodes if you want him to put you to sleep.
Yep. Also very good.
Yes. But I just, like, I don't know. This is probably the biggest, like, adversary we have on this series, unless they pull something else out in the next 2.5 seasons.
And, oh no, the Borg are here now.
They're
monsters.
But, you know, I just wish they had done something. Oh, I was going to say, with La'an, they did revisit her PTSD and the fact that it's easier for her to deal with since she melded with Spock, and I did like that.
Yes, that was very good.
Yeah. Like, she's not hitting that same note that she hit through entire season one. She's, like, she's gotten a little help, and she's doing a little better, and she's able to strategize and not just fall apart with rage and grief, which is good.
Yeah. I guess I forgot about this because it was flashbacks from the the first episode back in season one, but her brother gave her, like, a book he wrote about how to survive the Gorn, and you look at the pages of it, and it's like, 1, survive, 2, don't get killed by the Gorn.
Mm-hmm. 3, question marks, 4, profit.
That's, what am I supposed to do here? Oh, I died, sorry.
Did he just write bleh on the page?
Yeah, look at it. It even trails off.
Mm-hmm.
The castle would say arg. He'd just do it.
Mm-hmm. What was your bad thing?
More alien crap with the landing party. Just, you know, they wake up in pods that are not stuck to the walls, but might as well be. And then they walk around with their guns out, going stay frosty, and get to the La'an literally at one point says, get to the shuttle, like it's like it's fucking Predator.
Yeah. Wasn't that Commando?
That might have been Commando. I thought it was Predator for some reason.
It might be. I might be wrong, but I... Like, all those Arnold movies kind of blend together.
Yeah.
I don't think I've even seen all of them, but, you know.
I haven't seen Commando, but I've seen Predator enough that I could have fit a Commando in there, basically.
Hollow him out like a Tauntaun and fit a Commando
in there. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you idiot. You watch Predator enough times, you could have watched Commando at least twice.
Yeah, but there's no monsters in Commando. It's soldiers. Like, who cares about that?
I want monsters, damn it.
Yeah, that's the point. I get that, and I'm not even a big monster guy.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I've never seen Predator, but I've seen Predator 2. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, that is interesting. I've also not seen Predator 2. And again, I've seen Predator 1 enough that I could have.
Well, I was at the time writing movie reviews for our local paper, and Predator 2 came out. And what I should have done is rented Predator 1 first to do a better review, but I didn't do that. I was 16.
y'all seen that movie? What's called Predator?
Mm-hmm. Damn, damn green creatures.
Spider-Man 2.
There's so many Spider-Man 2s now. My good thing,
yes,
I would watch the Pelia and Scotty show, just spin them off, put them in a room together. It's her just like, I mentioned this in my summary, he didn't write anything down, he just improvised like crazy off the top of his head and did it, and now he's like, I don't know what I did. And yeah. She's like, you idiot. It's science. You write it down.
She literally, this is why we write things down, Scotty.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, this is why you failed my classes. Like, he's like, I feel like I'm in the lecture hall again. How would you know? You never showed up. Like, I just, all of their banter was just A+. Very good.
I also really love the idea that a lot of this for Scotty is just instinctual. You know, it's just like, well, this stuff fits together and it should, like, it's this weird, just like, I don't know how I do it. It just works.
But also, Pelia figures out if it's not a crisis, he's not going to do it. She runs in, like, flailing her limbs, saying, the coroner, here, we need it now. And he puts the stuff together real quick and said, here, it's done. And she's like, okay, thank you. Well, when are they going to be here? Oh, they're not.
Pike calls up. It's just like, yeah, so we'll be getting to Gorn Space in about a half an hour. So how you doing down there?
What did you just do to me, woman?
I had a heart attack. It worked, yeah, though, well, didn't it?
You finished the thing. But also, she's sort of taking him under her wing and teaching him. The captain has asked for something entirely impossible. You don't tell him no. You just say, yes, sir, we'll do it. And then you go do it. And like, we know that's what Scotty's going to be like later. But this is kind of where he learned that. And I like that.
Having Pelia as, like, not the person, not just the person who trained Scotty, but, like, the person who, like, figured out how to make this person work.
Well, the thing is if they had said his engineering ability came from her, that would suck. But he is the fucking all-star that we know. He just doesn't know how to use it yet. That's what she's teaching him.
Exactly. And that is so much better than the normal prequel thing, which is just like, here's how this happened. Here's how this happened. It's just like, yeah, this guy saw a coat and it made him decide to wear a coat forever.
Uh-huh. Are you talking about Solo, a Star Wars story?
I sure am. Yeah. That also happened in a Hellblazer comic back when the New 52...
You know, the worst example of that is a real life, like a biopic about a real life person.
Jesus Christ, no. That doesn't surprise me, though.
Which is Chaplin starring Robert Downey Jr. Because I went deep on silent comedies a few years ago. And I was like, oh, I like Robert Downey Jr. This movie, probably pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. And it's got a scene at the very beginning where he's digging through a props closet and he finds the tramp hat. And then they put an effect on it, like it's glowing and it's calling to him, and he puts it on and he becomes the tramp. And like, Jesus fucking Christ.
That's because I've seen
a real life guy.
Yeah, I've seen that with some real life, like the Beatles. One of the Beatles ones did that, too.
Ugh.
But like, it's the idea that people don't have imaginations. They just look at things that happen to them.
But also, there's an argument for that kind of thing. It's cheesy still, but there's an argument for that kind of thing if it's a genuine sort of mythical character. Like, this is how they got this iconic part of, like, okay, Destiny's calling to them or whatever. But when it's a real person, it doesn't make a lick of fucking sense. whatever.
I love Last Crusade, but having Indiana Jones discover everything that makes him Indiana Jones in one afternoon is just like, come on.
I didn't mind the whip.
No, the whip is good, but it's like the jacket and the hat. Just like, I want to be that guy.
Oh, and his fear of snakes.
Yes,
that got triggered there for the first time.
Yeah, that one was.
The thing is, I agree with you in principle, but also that's a tidy bit of storytelling in that 5 minutes.
That's the thing. It does it well, but I'm still like, really?
No, that's probably the best example of a bad device.
Yeah,
like. You know, that was them firing on all cylinders and doing it real well, but it mostly sucks. You're right.
Whereas Solo is dog shit.
Yeah, no, there was very little redeeming about that movie. Donald Glover as Lando was pretty much it.
The end.
And they need to bring him back in something better to redeem that.
Yes.
Anyway. We did have a bunch of, like, we have more space fighting this time and less lock and load, stay frosty. We had a bit of that, but a lot more. And I just posted, I just showed you the picture I'm using for the cover art, which is the really stupid Gorn in his fucking cockpit.
Yep.
Just looking like the fucking, like, I think I said this before, like the fake alien puppet from the end of Spaceballs. Get out of here.
See, if one of these Gorn had gone like that, at least would have been fucking like, that's the old Gorn.
Time to abandon ship.
Yeah, but it looked like they're trying to be sinister, and instead it looks like that. And it was a quick shot, but I just happened to be looking up from my notes and saw it, and like, what? That's what they're running from?
I want him wringing his hands like Muttley.
That's fine. Just, yeah, embrace the fucking 60s camp of it. Now, we say this, but this is supposed to be the wacky season, and we're going to get tired of that real quick, I think. So
that is true.
Maybe be careful what we wish for.
Now, well, yeah. It's a fine line to walk, you know?
It is, and the show did it so well in season one, and I feel like they're starting to lose their way. It's like, one week it's this, and then the next week it's like sitcom shenanigans. And like,
yeah.
I feel like there's subtle grades of this that are less jarring, but...
The thing is, I know we're going into this season, like, it's supposed to get a lot goofier, but... Yeah. Unlike with the musical episode and the puppet episode, which is coming, I don't know. Like, I only know about one episode that like is gets like wacky. So like, this is going to be all going to be pretty surprising.
The next 9 episodes, I know Patton Oswalt shows up, and I know there is a fake documentary that Flonk hates. But
oh yeah,
I don't always agree with Flonk. So no. Like, maybe I'll like that one. I might not. But yeah. Flonk liked Lower Decks and I didn't. Like, we don't always agree. So,
yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, talking about the ship fights and all that.
Yeah.
There was so much of that fucking... And I blame J.J. Abrams for this. He didn't invent it, but the constant spinning. And Disco loved this.
Oh, they loved the spin. Well, I mean, they had a spinning saucer section, which is a thing I liked about Disco, but still...
Yeah, but that's not the same as spinning the camera every time you go out in space. Like,
yeah,
I initially really liked it in the 2009 movie when Abrams is, because for the first time in Star Trek, I felt like there's no up in space. And
yeah,
all that. Like, I'm sure I talked about this when we reviewed it. Just the idea that it's so much more chaotic than just moving in a straight line like you would in an airplane battle or a ship battle, like at sea. Like there's no up. There's no, you know, like you can go any direction. But at this point, it's just like, stop spinning. All you're doing is like covering up your effects, probably.
Yeah, let me see what's going on. Like, I also don't want like TNG era stuff where it's just two ships in space shooting at each other. But yeah, like
exactly on the same plane, faced at each other at the same level. That doesn't make sense either.
Yeah.
But there's an in-between.
Yeah. I don't know. In conclusion, Star Trek is a land of contrasts.
On my summer vacation, there were two sort of visual things I wasn't a fan of. There was that, and there was a lot of lights because of the whole light thing. And
yeah.
I feel like, I know you're like, I don't know if epileptic is a spectrum, but I know you are occasionally light sensitive to things that strobe. Mm. And there was some strobing shit in this one. Did it bother you?
No, not that I know. That always seems to be more of a deal with animated stuff, I've noticed.
That's probably the frame rate then. It's probably because you get fewer. I don't know exactly, but I know that they're at different frame rates. So,
like, I think that used to come up more when we were doing Kids Love Batman.
Yeah. No, it came up. It's come up in the show occasionally, but I think you're right.
You might be right.
Might have been the animated series. But like, we've done a couple cartoons at this point. But yeah, there's a whole bit near the end where it's just wildly strobing. And I'm like, I know some people out there are not going to become like, hopefully it didn't send them into full on seizures, but
yeah, seriously,
it's not going to be happy.
No, I turned all the lights on and just put Strong Bad's techno music on.
See, I just had my eyes dilated at the eye doctor the other day. And
oh,
like I look like fucking, at the time I said I look like Mr. Sparkle. What I look like was Mr. Burns after he had his fucking, like,
I bring you love. Good morning, starshine. Mm-hmm.
The earth says hello.
That's a good Mr. Burns.
Oh, thank you. Is it an excellent one?
Excellent.
Excelente.
Smithers, who is that lollygagger?
But yeah, I like, if I had watched this that day, like I was miserably light sensitive and it would have fucking killed me.
Oh, your eyes bringing in all the light.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they go, Pike literally stares at two suns, which is even somehow worse than staring at one sun.
They wash out the bridge with light, which is not a bad effect.
No.
It's interesting. But in the 2009 Trek movie, the fucking Kelvin had a polarize the view screen mode mm-hmm. where if they're right next to a sun, it doesn't wash out the bridge. Like, they very specifically had the captain say that, and like,
yep.
It basically put the sunglasses on the ship. Yeah, it's either there's that or image. Put them on the sun, and we don't really have them for the sun, so.
It cuts out to the ship. Dong, dong.
Well, the thing is,
sunglasses come down.
I don't know where the ship's eyes are, but I'm picturing each lens going over a nacelle, just because that's the only parts that there's two of that, you know.
Oh, that's sense. Interesting, because for me, the saucer's the head.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's just there aren't two sort of round things that you could read as eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the cars thing where the windshield is the face. I'm doing the headlights are the face.
Yeah, yeah. Well, once again, we see how you and I are two different people.
What?
I don't know.
I don't know. We had a lot of the same notes again, though.
Yeah, that's true, too.
There's a couple of times just... We've been doing this a lot more lately where we make very specific similar notes.
I mean, we've been doing this a long, long time, Al. We've been writing together for goddamn 15 years at this point.
Oh, I know. But also, you have taken yourself on a journey that is, you know, somewhat different mm-hmm. than mine. So, you know, I thought maybe that would branch us off a little, give us a little diversity
yeah.
here. But, you know,
sometimes it's different, sometimes it's the same.
Girl Maggie's still, like, it's not much difference. You're just happier.
Yeah, it's nice.
Mm-hmm. God, I'm trying to
I'd be
find...
even happier if everyone else in this fucking country get their shit together, but,
yeah.
You know, we take what we can get.
I mean, I have, like, the easiest, like, way of getting through all this, being a like, straight-presenting, cis-presenting white dude, and mm-hmm. I still don't want
Yeah, well, that shows you how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, it sure is. But transition back to what we were actually mm-hmm. talking about.
This episode reveals that Captain Patel is allergic to cryo serum, which I had that problem back in elementary school. Sometimes you grow out of it.
Wait, so you could have cryo slept through elementary school if you weren't allergic?
Oh, 100%.
Ah, oh, man. You would have been much less, like, scarred. You probably would have
been
be
a lot happier,
too, though.
School was bad.
Probably wouldn't have learned how to read or whatever, but...
You know. Yeah. I need one of the Venture Brothers learning beds.
Yes. Hello, Maggie. Just did a rewatch of that. God, it's so good. The specific note I was looking for that we both made was that we really didn't like Pike spending this entire episode in his stupid fucking armor on the bridge.
Oh, God, I hate that shit, man.
It felt like you're doing a classic Star Trek ship battle. The guy mm-hmm. needs to be center stage in his yellow shirt. Come on, that's visual, like, that's Star Trek day one.
Yeah, like, I don't like that stuff in general just because it's too fucking, too fucking cop, you know?
Yeah, and it goes into that, like... early 2000s, like what Enterprise was doing, even Battlestar Galactica, which was at least trying to sort of be about that kind of thing. But it's that mm-hmm. that very nationalistic, like, the cops are soldiers kind of bullshit, and like, hate it.
Ugh. Yeah. But, and the other thing was, like, it's all fucking He-Man battle damaged, so, like, you mm-hmm. don't even get the pop of the yellow on the chest. It's just black.
Yep. And all the lights are off until they turn them way far up. So,
yeah.
Not great.
I don't want to see this. Like, I'm watching Star Trek. Put these people in their colors.
I've said this since they stopped doing it, probably around Enterprise. But, like, yeah, that's, like, I need the colors, man.
Yeah.
It's a dumb thing, but it's very important to me.
It's how you know you're watching Star Trek. If you fucking flip to a random channel and there's guys in big, colorful shirts, you're watching fucking Star Trek, baby.
Yep, exactly. Oh, so I didn't really talk about this, but one of the things they tried to do to fix Battelle, one of the sort of outside-the-box, crazy, like, solutions they came up with was Illyrian DNA. Basically, like, we got some of Una's blood. Let's try that, because... those guys can adapt and all that. And that was some cool problem solving.
I think that's neat. And I want that to come up later, like, to come up again. What with the whole Illyrian ban and everything?
Well, she got real pissed off. She's like,
she did.
What? You put what in me?
Yeah. And I want
actually,
like,
they didn't tell her specifically what Pike said was, Una helped you out.
Yeah. But like, she figured it out.
There might be repercussions there.
I would really like to see that, because I continue to find that stuff interesting.
Yeah, it's fairly interesting. I don't like that she's taken the hard line. Like, she's completely on the side of the man on this, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, conflict.
But yeah, that's true. But watching Spock and Chapel work together, even though they had, like, you know, their whole weird brief romance thing, like, and they talk it out here. She's like, look, I don't know what's going on. I think we should pause this. I'm going away for 3 months.
Yeah.
And he says, you are saying that some time apart might be good for us. And I assumed his next line would be, why do all my girlfriends keep saying that? It's the second time this has happened in a couple of months.
Am I just a real pain in the ass to be around?
Nobody wants to let me down. Like, everyone wants to let me down easy, but they still want to dump me. Like, it sucks.
Yeah. What I need is a stable person who is just going to fucking never leave me alone and love me so much he brings me back from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, good news. You've met that guy already.
Yeah. That guy? Sam's brother? Ugh.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Doesn't even have a mustache.
Yeah. The idea that Chapel is going to go hook up with Corby because she's afraid of getting too serious with Spock is a hook that I find very interesting.
Yeah, and I've said up to this point, like, this doesn't really jibe with the Chapel-Spock relationship, but now maybe it does. Maybe I should have trusted them because this kind of works. I still think she as a character doesn't quite read the same, but I'm willing to hand wave that. Everyone else does, so whatever.
Yeah, pretty spot on, but...
Yeah. Oh, so over on the Gorn ship, as they're trying to escape, they find access to the computers, and somehow La'an can read Gorn?
Yeah, I guess. I guess it came in that Gorn book that her brother wrote for her.
Yeah, the one-page pamphlet you described?
Yep,
like,
yep.
Somehow had their whole, like, language in there, too?
It's like Kryptonian. It's just a one-to-one replacement. Just, oh, okay, a Gorn E looks like an E, but with a little lizard guy at the bottom.
In fact, they're all little, they're basically little cartoons.
And once you figure out what the E is, it's much easier to figure out what the vowels are, and you can go from there.
Oh, in fact, this little cartoon is Loss. Got the Gorn coming into the hospital here. It's got the eggs he laid in the human here, laying in the bed, and the eggs aren't there anymore.
Oh, I love a Loss reference.
Oh, me too. It's it's always difficult to do in an audio medium, but I think I managed it that
time. Yeah, that's true.
All right, what else?
We need to do that for the fucking cover art sometime. I don't know, with the amount of time all Star Trek characters spend in sickbay, I feel like it's doable.
Oh, I'm sure there's a bunch of memes out there already that people have done, but yeah.
Know what I'm doing after we wrap up this episode?
Probably get Vishal to come up with like an original thing for us.
Oh, that's a good idea. This episode also with Spock working it with Chapel on Batel, we finally got it. We finally got Dr. Spock, so... My mom's what my mom calls him finally came true.
Well, you know this probably. The problem is there was an actual pediatrician who wrote books under the name Dr. Spock that was big in the late 60s when Star Trek was around, so it's very confusing for people.
Weird choice, guys, but
and science fiction characters often are named Doctor, so it's not a big leap.
It's a weird thing that it happens rarely, but when it does, it's very strange. There was an anime I was watching that came out a couple of years ago where one of the main characters was named Robert Downey. I'm like, why would you do that?
Well, I mean, sometimes Japanese things do that on purpose.
Listen. Well, back when I was reading Death Note, I got to see what a specific Japanese writer thought American names were, and they were amazing.
Well, do you know the meme that was going around with the baseball game?
I don't think so.
American names in it. So it's from a 90s baseball game. This is the meme, and maybe it's not true, but I don't care. It's fucking hilarious. Where a Japanese game designer had to make up a bunch of American names.
Oh, fuck. I think I have heard about this.
It's got Sleeve McDykel.
Oh my God. Yep.
I'm trying to find some of the best ones here. Glenn Allen Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Nogney. Bobson Dugnut.
Oh my God. I love Bobson Dugnut.
These are all fantastic.
That's great.
Todd Bonzales.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, you know what? People are the same all over.
Yeah, this is like an American person getting fucking like Asian characters tattooed on themselves without really knowing what they are. It happens to them too, probably.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This is every foreign character in a Marvel comic in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Well, to their credit, doing research was a little more difficult back then.
That's true. I'm not going to the library. I'm on a deadline. Stan's breathing down my neck.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Just call us Danny Moonstar, true believer. That's
doesn't matter.
Name.
Face front. Face front.
You're not facing front enough.
What does that even mean?
Now, excuse me. I got to go scream at Ditko's apartment for a while.
I got to make Ditko crazier somehow. I don't know how he managed it, but he did. All right. Anything else? We keep wandering off topic here.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I mind, but...
No. We got Mitchell contributing again in this episode.
Oh, yeah, because Ortegas isn't there, so she's kind of the next go-to.
And the more I see of her, the more I'm like, give her more to do. Fucking, that's this fine. Happened on Disco all the time. We'd have these characters that were like, not even like the Wooshkin and what the hell was
Detmer?
Her name? Detmer. Where like mm-hmm. they sort of vanished. We would have like guys who would contribute and look and be interesting and then just never see them again. Like,
yeah, they would always introduce them and tell us their name and then off they go.
Yeah, if Mitchell's going to be here every week, give her stuff, like, give her more stuff.
I have mixed feelings about that. I need to know more about Erica Ortegas before I know more about Mitchell.
That's true.
And she hasn't had nearly enough to do yet. So, like, prioritize the main cast, and mm-hmm. then, if the show goes on for a bit, then you sort of deepen your bench. And, mm-hmm. you know, I also, go ahead.
Oh, she got to do the thing I was talking about last week where she was like, I'm Erica Ortegas, I fly the ship.
I did not like that she said it out loud. Like,
oh.
I like that she had the moment. I didn't mm-hmm. like it's now it's a catchphrase, and I don't like that.
I thought that was great.
Nah. I'm surprised. You're usually not a fan of that kind of thing.
I don't know. It's Ortegas. I like anything she does.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm sure we've talked about this. I'm sure the fandom has talked about this a lot, but like is this Mitchell related to Gary Mitchell?
Yeah. I think they've said, like, I think I read on Memory Alpha that they've just said, no, it's a coincidence. But, like, lean
why
into
would
that
you
shit,
come up
man.
With? Why would you come up with a name of a guy we know is going to be in that seat at some point in the near future in this continuity? Like, that's a weird, like, if it's coincidence, you guys, you didn't do it on purpose, really?
Yeah, like, if you guys are, like, and I know the plan was to do, like, that Trek Year One thing, which is not happening now.
I don't think it was a plan. I think they just wanted to.
No, they anyway. Pitched it to Paramount. So like,
All right.
Yeah. But like that's a character that you should dive into. That's a fascinating fucking character, you know?
I feel like he comes over with Kirk though.
Yeah.
Because they're best fucking pals and
Kirk's
he's
best
always been the same.
Fucking bro ass best friend. Like,
yeah. And he's always been the same. He's like, my friends are the ones who get to be in the top spots here.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I want to see that guy. That guy is super interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. And, I always forget her name. That Sally Kellerman played his like, the blonde who also got powers.
Oh, fuck, yeah. I don't remember her.
She was in the movie of MASH, she was Hot Lips. She's in a bunch of stuff, but, like... Mm. She was a fairly accomplished movie actor after that.
Yeah.
But I never remember the character's name, which sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to know this stuff. I don't know. My brain is so bad.
Daner? Elizabeth? My
Daner
brain is screaming.
Sounds right.
Well, let's ask old Memory Alpha.
Uh-huh.
Where? No. Oh, God damn it. No. No, man. Why don't you vamp for time, Molly?
Yes. So that I also can never remember the other, the gal from the cage. I think her name's Piper, but like.
Oh, yeah. Who we thought was like Tilly Jr. or something.
Yeah. Fucking one of the women who disappears when Spock goes the women.
Mm, say it right.
The women. Uh-huh. I am still experimenting with emotions, Jim.
Also, the period of the continuity we're in now happens after the cage, so like...
That, I guess that's true, yeah.
That little redhead should still be around, right?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Where'd Danner, I was right.
Yeah, okay, good. Good work.
Yep. I will say...
Elizabeth Danner is a very Star Trek-sounding name.
Yeah, it is. That character we're just talking about, I think, is Piper. She was... An older version of her was in those... what the hell were they called? The ones where Kirk came back to sit by Spock's deathbed.
Oh, fuck, yeah. I don't remember what they're called either, but the fan movies.
They were kind of fan movies, except Roddenberry Productions was involved. Like, they were... It had some legitimacy to them. It wasn't just like the other fan films we've done. There was some degree of we're cool with this. It might not be perfectly continuity, but we're not shutting it down either, kind of thing. So
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, not sure. But yeah, she was.
We did an episode. You guys can check it out.
Yeah, it was in one of our recent supplementals. We talked about that.
You do the research. I'm tired.
Yeah, Stan's on my back. I don't have time to do the research.
Yeah.
All right.
To drive you crazy.
Got anything else?
Short drives, Stan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's everything.
Very well. Well, next week, I hate this title. We have an episode called Wedding Bell Blues.
Oh, that's not a good title. That sounds like more Vulcan shenanigans.
Yeah, more Spock and T'Pring.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's somebody else's wedding bell blues.
This time they're stuck in the get-along shirt and...
Oh, no. They're in a pantomime say lot.
Yep. There you go. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they can't unzip it because there's no zippers. How did we get in this thing? I don't know.
How do we get out of
mm-hmm. See? Episode writes itself.
Yep. Perfect.
All right. Well, as ever, the website is postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, it is postatomichorror@gmail.com. We have worked out, now that they have announced season 4, what our production schedule is going to be. And for those of you listening through the Patreon, do not panic in July. We're taking 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
Because
in July.
Because we just missed the season 4 premiere. Like, we're going to be wrapping up season 3 just shy of season 4 starting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd much rather continue to do the same show than jump over to Academy and come back.
Yeah.
So we're going to just take 2 weeks off for you guys. And then when we come back, we'll be doing season 4 pretty much in real time.
Yeah.
That'll be
exciting.
And for those of you not listening in the Patreon, it's going to be business as usual. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. But
for the Patreon, it just means you're getting episodes 13 weeks ahead. You're just going to get them 11 weeks ahead, which is still pretty far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but yeah, if you're interested in like literally watching along with us, now's a good time to toss us a buck, please.
Yes,
or more if you can afford it.
/Algar. It's as little as a buck. You get the show right now, 13 weeks ahead. You'll get it 11 weeks ahead after July. But yeah, and there'll be other stuff there as well. So
yeah, there's a ton of other stuff too.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah, see you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2026. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.